Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 12, recorded Tuesday night, August 23rd, 2005. This is a podcast that dishes out travel stories with reverb from hotel bathroom tiles around the world. Our topics for today's podcast, generations of travelers, emotions in the frequent traveler line, and my own rundown of the travel podcastosphere. So I'm coming to you this evening from the bathroom of the Marriott Courtyard in Oldsmar, Florida. This is just outside of Tampa. The humidity and temperature have been reduced just a bit on this visit. We're down to about 90 degrees Fahrenheit and about 90% humidity, you know, which sort of keeps things down to only about one thunderstorm a day. We're a bit outside of Tampa, so the nightlife options are a bit limited. The Applebee's across the parking lot seems to be sort of quite the local hotspot. One of the other guys was there last night, and he said it was pretty hopping. He seems to think that, of course, is driven by the dollar drafts and the pub-style trivia games. I thought I was heading to Washington, D.C. Thursday morning, but that meeting just got canceled, so I'm actually heading home tomorrow night, Wednesday night. This, of course, meant that I had to reopen my plane ticket. I was actually able to build a very nice triangular ticket on United because I was hitting two of their hubs coming out of O'Hare and then hitting Dulles outside of Washington, D.C. On the way back. And because I sort of arranged to actually get my act together a week ahead of time, I got a pretty smoking deal on that fare, which unfortunately went up in smoke when I had to reopen it. The United customer service rep was really a great guy, very helpful, and he thanked me for my business about three times during our 5-minute phone conversation. You know, there's a guy who was definitely looking forward to coming out of Chapter 11. I knew I was facing at least a $100 change fee, if not a change in fare. And he did too, and he started apologizing for the increased cost even before he knew what the number was. I told him, hey, look, you know, I'll tell you, this thing cannot cost me more than $250. And he said, okay, why are you so certain? I said, because that's the price of a one-way ticket on Southwest from Tampa back to Chicago. And so if you guys end up repricing this thing at anything more than $250, I'll just hang up the phone, you know, throw away the other two tickets on this thing, on this itinerary, and go buy a one-way Southwest ticket to fly home. Oh, good point, he said. So he went back, did his magic, and the price came in right at $201 and a couple of cents. But so even with this change, the cost of the ticket was still less than the cost of my round-trip Southwest ticket 2 weeks ago, but not by much. I'll tell you, I don't think there's any chance for a smoking deal next week. I'm still trying to figure out if I'm heading back down here to Tampa or out to LA next week. I mean, my real objective is to make sure I don't have to hit both of them next week, because flying between LA and Tampa is not a pretty itinerary. One last thing here before we get into the topics, I wanted to talk about the final results of our worst USA airport poll. We've been tracking this for a couple of months now on the left-hand column of the Travel Commons website, and the winner pulling it out at the last moment, Denver International Airport, edging out LAX by one vote. O'Hare comes in third, and Newark a distant fourth, one vote ahead of the rest of the pack. Thanks to all those who voted, and I'll have a new poll up this weekend, and I'll introduce it in next week's podcast. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. Well, the good old days may not be. So the first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, generations of travelers. Yeah, there were some good comments in response to the last podcast, podcast number 11, that folks posted on the Travel Commons website. And as always, thanks to everyone who sent me notes at comments@travelcommons.com or posted comments on the Travel Commons website, www.travelcommons.com. One comment that sort of struck a chord with me was from a woman who related to my story about schlepping multiple bags through Europe on my "if it's Tuesday, then this must be Sweden" or perhaps Switzerland style trips that I did some years ago. You know, she said she had a similar stint. "I traveled internationally for a multinational for 20 years," she says. "Must tell you that I once traveled for business 21 days in Japan with two carry-ons, one on wheels, the other over my shoulder. I could barely stand the color navy blue after that trip." I tell you, I sympathize with all of those comments. She says she's now retired, but her daughter has picked up her road warrior mantle and also prides herself on her ability to travel light. You know, her comment got me thinking about sort of how much our parents influence our career choices and also what we consider normal in the business world. It's pretty normal for military careers to run down through generations, and I've interviewed more than my fair share of sales guys who are sort of second or third generation bag carriers. In my case, it's travel. Growing up, my father traveled all the time. He was a product engineer for International Harvester. He'd be out on farms in Texas or upstate New York for weeks, field testing new designs of cotton pickers or hay mower conditioners. You know, saying goodbye to my dad and not seeing him for a while was part of our normal family life. It was just sort of part of the rhythm. And so when I started my first job, it was sort of a part of my mental equation that work equaled travel. And based out of Dallas, I hit American's Advantage Gold within the first 6 months of starting. And that actually was when gold was their top tier. This was sort of pre-platinum, pre-executive platinum days. And it was only given to the top flyers in each market. You know, my wife's experience growing up was completely the opposite. Her father ran an auto repair shop and never had a need for travel, and so was home every evening for dinner. When she entered the workforce, she did a little bit of travel, mostly corporate training, but nothing intense and certainly didn't have all the sort of received wisdom that I had on sort of the assumed norms of travel. And at the same time that my travel started up, so did my mother's, as she began to travel extensively as head of print purchasing for Disneyland, going all around the country doing press okays and qualifying print vendors. You know, the travel war story sort of became the normal conversation between my parents and I, though I'll tell you, I usually lost the battle of the upgrade stories. Disney at that time was much better to their employees than the companies I worked for. But of course, I'll tell you, I could never top the stories my dad would tell. And he had actually stopped traveling by the time both my mother and I, by the time our travel sort of really kicked in. And so he traveled in sort of when travel was still kind of nice and sort of the pre-cattle car era. Travel was still regulated, and not so many people traveled, so it was a different experience. But I'll tell you, the stories that he would tell. Well, half a dozen consultants can get into some pretty humorous situations in Manhattan. I'll tell you, those stories are nowhere near the same league as the stories from a bunch of engineers looking for companionship and beer, crossing over the border into Reynosa, Mexico. Second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, emotions and the frequent traveler life. You know, I'll tell you, serendipity is a lovely thing. I've talked about it before on these podcasts. Longtime listeners of the Travel Commons podcast will remember when I was sort of on a tear about Sean Penn back in sort of the June time frame, really sort of Travel Commons podcasts 5 through 7. And they started with a topic on citing famous people in airports, Sean Penn being one of them. Prepping for this podcast, I was thinking about revisiting sort of my paparazzi topic when on the Travel Commons website, someone posted a Washington Post link about Sean Penn's travels to Iran, which was the trip that I had actually seen him on in San Francisco Airport that I mentioned in Travel Commons Podcast 5. I hadn't had really any celebrity sightings recently until last week's trip out to the West Coast. On the way out, I'll tell you, I had to stare down Steve Case, sort of that former new economy icon and the ex-CEO of AOL Time Warner. I had to stare him down in the line at one of the McDonald's in O'Hare's Terminal 3. sort of he came into the line the wrong way, was sort of cut in front of me on his way to ordering that five-piece chicken McNugget select pack. He saw my glare, sort of backed right down, let me order my vanilla cone first. Smart guy. Let me tell you, who says there's no civility left in travel? The more interesting celebrity spotting that I had was actually on the way back home in LAX. I was walking through sort of the first class precious metal, you know, gold, platinum, silver, the precious metal security line. And I saw a couple exchange a rather long, rather passionate goodbye. It was a bit awkward because it was difficult to avoid. The security line tailed back to right about where this couple was, so I couldn't walk by. And indeed, the couple ended up right in front of me, the woman in the line, the man outside the line, leaning over the retractable cloth lane line thing. And they kept moving, sort of both their legs and their tongues, as the line sort of crept forward. Well, they finally had to separate so that the security guard could check the woman's face against the picture in her passport. And when they did, I recognized the woman. But from where? And I've talked about this before. You know, I can recognize the face, but I really have to start cycling through to figure out. It takes me a little bit to put a name to that face. So I'm sort of cycling through all the neurons, probably startled a couple of them pretty badly. And it finally hit me. It was Julie Delpy, the French actress who sort of made her name in the Before Sunset, Before Sunrise movies with Ethan Hawke.
I hate when I'm in a foreign country, especially in America, they're the worst. Each time I wear black or like lose my temper or say anything about anything, you know, they always go, oh, it's so French, it's so cute. I hate that, I can't stand it.
Good set of movies if you haven't seen them. I actually prefer the former to the latter, the first one, Before Sunrise, I really liked. And actually, I had actually seen her picture the previous day on the cover of a magazine in my San Francisco hotel room. I'll tell you, though, her tearful, sort of grief-stricken face, it made recognition a bit difficult. You know, you typically don't see that extreme of an emotion in the frequent traveler line. Here is a woman quite distraught at saying goodbye to this man. And while you can often see tearful goodbyes at sort of the front of airports, you know, the frequent traveler lines are pretty dry places, you know, sort of hardened road warriors working through their routines. They've typically driven themselves to the airport. Their heads down, checking their emails on either their Blackberries or their Trios. You know, they expect to come home in a couple of days to families that, you know, that are used to their frequent comings and goings. It's not a big deal. You know, indeed, I think many of the other emotions felt by less traveled folks, sort of anticipation, fear, excitement, enjoyment, sorrow, sort of they've all been drained out of the frequent traveler line through sort of years of repetition. You know, it's a commute. Just sort of more hassles and more frisking than a train. Ms. Delpy was really the exception. She was sort of this lonely island of tears as she shuffled alone toward the screening post. Really, so deep was her grief, and it was just so raw and so unique was that emotion in what is a fairly sterile space, especially in LAX. Sort of it created a space. People sort of stood back and gave her probably about a 2-foot empty space all around her. I lost track of her as we passed through the TSA screening stations and sort of as we merged back into the passengers from the regular security lines. I just hoped that the kids running around the terminals, excited to be heading home from their vacation, could ease at least the intensity of her sorrow. So today's last topic on the Travel Commons podcast, you know, who else is working the travel podcast space? I'm always looking to steal a good idea or sort of, as they say in the interactive industry, repurpose content. So I actually spent some time looking for and listening to other travel podcasts. I listened to about 15, 16 travel podcasts, and I ended up, as I was listening to them, I sort of naturally classified them sort of along two dimensions. The first, what do they talk about? Your travel podcasts seem to talk either about places to visit in the podguides.net walking tours, or the Rick Steves podcast are sort of good examples of this category. Or they're about the act of travel, sort of audio blogs about traveling. And I think Travel Commons, this podcast, certainly falls into that category, as does podcasts like The Empty Seat and Amateur Travelers. Sort of the second axis of that classification has to do with the origin, original podcasts versus repurposed content. Certainly the Travel Commons podcast is nothing but an original podcast. That's all it is. As is, I think, sort of the 500 by Midnight podcast about Las Vegas. Though some of the more popular travel podcasts, at least according to iTunes, are actually repurposed from radio shows. Rick Steves and Dan Neal from KCRW's A Road Less Traveled. So I'll tell you, if you like, I've kind of arrayed the podcasts that I listen to in a 2x2 matrix, and have posted that in the show notes, sort of if you can stomach looking at a 2x2 matrix. Anyhow, I personally tend to listen to podcasts that are sort of in the upper right-hand corner of that matrix. And isn't that always the way with those 2x2 matrices? But anyhow, it's really original podcasts about the act of travel. Now, you know, that may seem a bit obvious that I would kind of prefer the space inhabited by my own podcast, but for the most part, I really sort of prefer the voice, the tone of sort of the original indie podcasts, as they're now being called. I do listen to some repurposed stuff, some of the stuff coming out of the BBC primarily, but on the whole, I think sort of the repurposed stuff loses something in the translation. You know, and perhaps because I'm a frequent traveler, I'm interested in hearing other travel tales, how other folks are handling the business of travel. You know, I'll seek out and listen to podcasts about a location that I'm about to visit. Actually, I stumbled across Andy Carvin's Waste of Bandwidth podcast as I was searching for stuff on Hungary prior to my summer vacation. But I don't subscribe to them, or I don't keep listening to them after I've visited that place for which I searched them out. Some of the ones I do listen to, I enjoy Kurt Taylor's Empty Seat podcast because he does different travel for me. He travels internationally to Asia while I tend to sort of ping-pong around the U.S. I enjoy listening to his perspectives about Asia, the Asian culture, and sort of what he goes through as he's traveling through Asia, because it's an area I haven't visited, so it's kind of very educational for me. I also enjoy a new feature he's introduced, the ABCs of travel. Here's his selection for the letter B, which I'll tell you shows that he's a true road warrior.
So, the ABCs of heavy duty, intense business travel. My first was A, and I did attitude. Well, this week we've got B, and there's a lot of things you could tie to B, baggage, for one. But I found that that's always a tough subject. As I get around people that I travel with, or are the people that I run across on the road, everybody packs differently. And everybody's got their own method to their madness. Some people overpack. Some people do everything in a briefcase. I mean, I've traveled with Japanese executives that pretty much travel with what they have on and rely on hotel amenities. They don't even travel with a toilet kit. If they're lucky, they got a clean shirt stuffed in their computer bag. I've traveled with other guys that have, you know, they've got the full 27-incher with them. And but that's not what I'm going to talk about. Baggage is baggage. Everybody's got their own way to pack. But I think I could not pass the letter B up without mentioning my Bose headphones.
I also enjoy listening to Russell Johnson's Connected Traveler. While this one's sort of on the border, I think, between original and repurposed, he's also streams this from his website. I think he tells great stories about the people he's met on his travels.
David Bellamy What do you say about him? You may not know him if you're in the States. You may not be too familiar with him, but David Bellamy, Dr. David Bellamy, is a conservationist and a former BBC host who has brought the idea of conservation to people all over the world. In fact, he's very, very popular with children, probably because he looks a lot like Santa Claus. If I were a kid, I'd just like to run up and hug him.
So, what travel podcasts do you enjoy, other than the Travel Commons podcast, of course, which I hope you continue to enjoy? Send me a note at comments@travelcommons.com or leave a comment on the Travel Commons website underneath this podcast, and I'll include the list, include folks' comments in next week's podcast. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 12. Edit this all together probably tomorrow, Wednesday, given that it's a little bit late now, Tuesday night. And I'll go over and sort of kickstart the server. I'll tell you, the day after I loaded last week's podcast, I saw over 4.5 gigabytes of data downloaded, which is great. You know, I feel like I'm finally getting my money's worth for my hosting plan, so keep it up. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast. Especially folks who've joined us new, the new subscribers, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. I appreciate any comments, either directly at comments@travelcommons.com or on the travelcommons.com website, or I also take a peek at the comments board of podcastalley.com. Wherever you want to, just leave me a note. I look forward to your feedback, and I hope you have a good week. Take care, until I talk to you soon. Bye-bye.